Good evening. You're listening to a very special edition of the Fresh Air News Hour with me, Ollie Lewis. It's Thursday, the 3rd of March, and I'd like to welcome you to Fresh Air's 2022 Edinburgh University Students Association Presidential Debate. Tonight, most of the candidates that are running to be your next president of Edinburgh University's Students Association are here, debating with one another and setting out their visions, explaining why they should get your vote. Voting opens on Monday for president and many other roles within USA. The campaign began yesterday and is already in full swing, and this right now is the first head-to-head encounter between the presidential candidates. Six out of eight of them are here tonight, and they are Marco Garcia Mendez, Jeremy Pestle, Frederick Moore, Mukai Chigumba, Hugh Beaumont, and Neve Roberts. We'll be asking the candidates why they are the right person for this job, how they will represent you and make USA's voice heard by the university, whose track record is strongest, who will make the best president. You decide. The debate begins right here in a few moments. Hello and welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with me on this very exciting evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to the 2022 USA Presidential Debate. I'm Ollie Lewis, Fresh Air's Head of News. Here's how the debate will work this evening. Each of the six candidates present will have no more than 2 minutes to introduce themselves, their vision, and their priorities for the role if they are to be elected president of the Students' Union. Around 45 minutes of free-flowing debate will then follow, guided by broad questions asked by me. None of the candidates have seen any of the questions that will be asked, and the two other presidential candidates, Ida Inal and Haith Hosnain, were not available to take part or declined our invitation. The debate you're about to hear is the unedited and full version of the discussion that we had, and I should say for reference, this was all recorded yesterday on Wednesday, the 2nd of March. I started by asking the candidates to give their two-minute statements, the order for which was decided randomly, starting with Marco Garcia Mendez.
Hi, yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for giving us the space to have this debate. I'm really excited to be here to run, to be your president, your USA president, also the first Latino sabbatical officer. The reason why I'm running for president, it's quite simple for me. It's the fact that the University of Edinburgh has come to mean home for many of us, both Scottish, English, EU citizens, and those who come from all corners of the globe. As a Latino man myself, things might not be so easy at first, or even down the line, I think. I'm sure that we all miss the food from home, our friends we left to come here, perhaps our language, the things that we have grown up with our entire lives, really. And for most students that arrive in Edinburgh, coming here is a dream as much as a sacrifice. One manifested primarily in all the things that I have just mentioned, I think. Our job at USA, my job as, you know, a candidate is to make sure that those students who make sacrifices have an equal opportunity for academic success and happiness. And it matters not whether you were born here. It matters not your gender, your ethnic or your religious background, your orientation or your social status. To further our rich diversity, I'm running to be your USA president and the first Latin American man to do so. I think there's a lot that could be improved, and I think I've detailed that in my manifesto. I'm looking to do primarily three things, which is to empower you, to celebrate you, and to include you. I think we'll talk more a little bit about that during the debate, but once again, I'm really, really happy to be here.
Thank you very much, Marco. We're now going to go to Frederick Moore.
Hi, I'm Frederick. I'm from Norway, 23 years old. This is my third year, and I study international relations. I run for president because I think I bring a skill set that will help the student association be the best association it can possibly be. And that is not like leading it towards a certain belief. That's not my role. My role will be to effectivize and make a structure cooperative like culture within the student associations. So the students and the movements on the lower level can be put in the best place to succeed. And the first 2 years I've spent like not focusing more on the human than on like the university and like and on the institutions that they provide. And like these perspectives I've encountered with, I now want to like use that to my knowledge and apply that in a way that I think I will do to a very good satisfaction.
Thank you, Frederick. And now to Jeremy Pestel.
Hi, yes, thank you very much. I am Jeremy. I'm fourth year physics with meteorology student, so I'm based in King's Buildings most of the time. I'd like to start by echoing the words of Marco a short while ago in thanking you very much for giving us your time this afternoon, this evening, for this debate. I put my hat in the ring because I feel like I have a very unique place within the university and within the Eustaspheres generally. I have a very lengthy track record of continuously asking questions of sabbatical officers in the last 3 years at Student Council. Marco will know about this already. He is the facilitator there, and he's done a fantastic job. And I have really done my very best to legitimize the work of the SABs because I care about the work that they do. I think the advocacy that they do is really, really important. I think, you know, USA as an organization is a really, really important organization for students generally. I'm not going to shy away from the fact that I understand that USA is struggling economically, struggling financially. That would be because of the coronavirus pandemic. If you spend 2 years, for example, with your facilities not open or not trading in the way that they would normally be able to trade because of restrictions, then you're going to be in a less well-off position financially, which is why I've placed my campaign and my manifesto firmly on the side of advocacy and using USA's voice to really affect the change where it matters.
Thank you, Jeremy. And now Mukai Chigumba.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mukai, and I'm a fourth-year law student. And the reason why I'm running this year is because I want to make sure that the student voice is heard on campus. And when I talk about the student voice, I mean that I want students' voices to actually be impactful on the decisions that the university and USA makes. And the reason why I've chosen this particular topic is because I've been on a lot of different university committees where I feel like students play a more of a participatory role rather than an active one in actual decision making. So a lot of times I think students are asked to submit papers or their perspectives, but that's not always kind of put into consideration. That being said, I have also worked as a founder and financier for the Black Ed Movement. So I know what it's like to write a student petition and have to kind of ask the university and USA for support. And I think from that kind of perspective, I understand how in the past 2 years, due to the pandemic and other issues that we've had on campus, a lot of students have brought forth a lot of issues that they would like the university to address or USA to assist them with. And I do want to make sure that during the year, if I am to get this position, that the student voice is something that's heard, is something that's well respected, and that the university actually takes on student voices very strongly when it comes to making their decisions.
Thank you. And now next to Hugh Beaumont.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on. I'm Hugh, and I'm doing my fifth year in theoretical physics. I'm in my master's year, and I'm running to be USA president. I want to be USA president because I foresee a completely different student experience. I want to transform the student experience, and I foresee USA taking a prominent role in that. And I want USA to be an organization which puts on large-scale events. Like I imagine sort of Bristow Square being transformed into a venue site for, say, Oktoberfest or Chinese New Year. And the imagination is the limit with that. I want to build a great student community through this. And I want to have a large annual university affordable ball. And just sort of a great way to end the year. I want to transform Teviot into a venue where you can actually afford to buy a drink. I'd like to make Teviot a proper student hub, and I'd like to make the drinks in Teviot among the cheapest in Edinburgh, and so that people aren't priced out and feel that it's inaccessible. And I want to save students money. And a part of this policy of building a good student community is to promote the sports and sporting achievements of our teams. They play intercollegiate sports all the time, and most students don't hear about it. I think that USA should be promoting the sport, these sporting games. They should be live streaming it in Teviot, and it would be a great time. Furthermore, it's not just that. I think things like, there are lots of issues like harassment on campus, gender-based violence. These are very serious concerns, and I want to work with diverse groups, and I'm eager to try and find solutions with them. To very complicated issues the spiking epidemic is outrageous and needs to be tackled head on. And it's all about working with diverse backgrounds to find sort of inclusive solutions to these things.
Thank you very much, Hugh. And finally, to Neve Roberts.
Oh, okay. It's going to be difficult to keep why I'm running to 2 minutes, but I'll do my best. I'm running because the students at the University of Edinburgh do not all come here with equal opportunity and with an equal weight in what they can, how they can participate. As Mukai said, a lot of students are, we are consulted, but we are, that doesn't really translate into impact. And so I'm running because I want to embed a citizens assembly of students into the school year. That means decision-making directly involves students, not just representatives, so that we can discuss what went wrong with the year and what can go right, what can be done well. I also think that the university staff and students do so many amazing things. I mean, you just have an off chance conversation with a member of staff or a committee member of a society to hear about some really amazing things that are going on. And often these aren't seen, they're not noticed, and they're not adequately funded or supported. And so I really want to streamline services and streamline different initiatives that are happening across the university to make sure that not only is there adequate funding, but the funding that we do have is proportional and it's going where it can really be used best. I'm also running because I have worked really closely with the EDI, that's Equality, Diversity and Inclusion team, already on gender-based violence, although I prefer to use the term sexual violence because it's not just women who are affected by this, it's non-binary people, trans people, trans men and women, and cis men who experience harassment, and not only sexual harassment, but all kinds of bigotry. And I think it's really not been tackled. We all remember when there was that attack outside of the library and the university took nearly a week to speak on it. That was disgusting. I mean, so I really want to improve that culture on campus of safety. And I think that the people who are experiencing the issues often have a lot of great solutions. And so I want to use my existing networks within the university through working as an RA and with EDI to improve a lot of the services we have existing. I'll stop there, but I'm so excited about this. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you so much for giving those statements. They were a great introduction to you all. Now, just before we get into the free-flowing debate, which will be the next 45 minutes, I just want to say, and I really want to underscore this point, I want you guys to engage with each other in this debate. There is a reason that there are so many of you running to be UCIS's next president, and that's because you will have different ideas and there will be things you disagree on. So of course it will be respectful, but if there is something that you disagree about, disagree with someone on, please say it. Either put your hand up or, you know, gently interject and that kind of thing, pick up on their point, because people want to hear why you're different from one another and not just why you're all the same. So let's get into it. Neve, I want to pick up on a point that you just mentioned regarding harassment and sexual violence or gender-based violence on campus, and link that to something else that was said about the Citizens Assembly idea. Do you have any specific decisions, and this is a question that will go to all of you, do you have any specific decisions in mind that have been made by either USA or the university in the last few years that you would disagree with and that you would have taken a different stance on?
Meaty question that is. Yes, so I've worked quite closely with Leslie Johnson, who is sexual violence prevention team lead. So when they initially created that post, they told Leslie that there would be a team working with her. And when she got into the role, she was quick to find out that they had not actually funded the team for that. As a result, Leslie, who is fantastic and is an expert in her field, has been completely overworked. She's been inundated with disclosures, and that's not to say that those disclosures shouldn't be coming in. In fact, if people had more faith in the university to deal with their disclosures, as we've seen recently, a lot of that faith is probably waning, then it would be great if there were more, the university could deal with them more. But she was completely inundated, and she was unable to work adequately with all of those, and only recently has been able to get a team in. That came with a lot of pushing, and I think it's those kind of decisions, it's not what USA and the university are doing really overtly and that we are seeing that makes the most impact. It's issues with staffing and with moving money with allocating time and resources. It's what's put top of the priority list. And I think that the kind of attitude that the university has, which is almost respond in a media trained way first and then actually deal with the issue later, rather than tackling issues before they become, you know, get put on the BBC or okay. the Guardian.
Yeah, sure. Does anyone else agree or disagree on that? Are there any decisions or trends in the way the university communicates and responds to things that people would like to see done differently? Hugh, go first, and then Mukai will go to you.
Sure. I think one of the big things that you said, or the university does a bad job in particular, is that if someone is a victim of, say, spiking, the support networks are not very well advertised. I've had, unfortunately, many of my friends have suffered from being spiked at nightclubs. And the first thing, you know, it's a terrible thing, and it's a terrible state that you find yourself in. And so what you want from USA and from the university is an easy portal to, or, you know, an easy to access website to find out information about, you know, what you can do to get help, what your next step should be. I think USA in general does a poor job of advertising this. And it's something that USA really needs to promote. And this goes further than just gender-based violence. In all kinds of issues where students feel the need that they have to report mental health issues or whatever, the university does not do a very good job at promoting and advertising the processes and networks you can go through to find support.
But recently, with petition that's got, just 1 second, Frederick, then I'll bring people in. But recently, and this is something that anyone can pick up on, there's been a lot of criticism of the system itself. So Hugh, you talk about that the system isn't being advertised, but actually, with a recent protest that took place on campus against the system that is there to address sexual violence claims and that kind of thing, the criticism is often of the system itself. But yeah. Hugh, your solution, you think, is to advertise the system more.
So what I said is, I said further on from these points. So I would, right. I don't disagree with what you're saying whatsoever. It's what else can be done. And I think that my friends going through the process of you know, reporting this stuff were almost treated as if they weren't actually victims of anything at all.
Sure.
And that does need to change. The culture.
Frederick, jump in briefly.
I think it's obviously important to have a great support system, and that's the number one thing. But when I talk to some of the protesters and the ones who've been arranging it, what they feel is a large part of the problem as well is a justice problem rather than an awareness problem. That people on the Edinburgh is to a large extent aware of the problem, but what they feel specifically is a justice problem. So because
what do you mean by that exactly?
I think you can make an argument for maybe one of the main things you should go for is on that spectrum and not on the support. Like, obviously the support.
What do you mean by a justice? Frederick, what do you mean by a justice problem?
This is what I've been learning, because I haven't experienced it. But I talked to people and they said how the university are not they're allowing the system to keep happening by not facilitating for it to change through negative reinforcement onto the perpetrators.
Mukai, do you want to jump in? Sorry, Fred, just finish and then Mukai, jump in.
So I'm also the parent women's officer at the Students Association. And I do want to agree with Niamh on certain points, because I have also worked with Leslie Johnston, and I'm also in the gender subcommittee as well as the larger EDI committee, and say that prioritization is the main problem. Because I think even last semester when we had spiking and various things going on, I was also part of the legacy team for the rector's community exercise, where they were discussing a lot of different issues on campus. And even then, when I brought up the issue of sexual assault, it wasn't prioritized as something that they wanted to speak about at that particular forum. But I also do think, besides prioritization, I think there's kind of two things going on here. So the first one is, I think when I kind of touch on students and decision-making choices that the university makes, I think exactly what Frederick was saying and how students feel is what I want people to take into account. It's the lack of transparency when it comes to disciplinary procedures, as well as how the reporting structure goes. And the reason why I say this is because I think it's not that USA doesn't have proper channels to disseminate information, because we have the advice place, which is somewhere that you can call and literally ask about anything, and they've got all the information there. I think it's the fact that that USA does and the university don't always leverage upon networks that will actually get the information to students faster. So for example, this year I took it upon myself to create a women's forum with all the women's societies to share information, because you do find that, I think when it comes to sexual violence, although it's not something that only pertains to women, people should leverage upon certain societies or places where we know students go to for help anyways, or students who perhaps may be looking for assistance in a certain subject area will go to. And I think that's the main problem. And I think something else outside of that that I've also noticed, because I did also work as the EDI calendar intern for the university over summer, is we have a huge communication problem within the university and even within USA. It's very hard to kind of get information across different departments. And I think that's why we often have very delayed reaction times when things happen. That's why students are always constantly complaining that they aren't being given responses fast enough. And this is something that is often talked about and spoken about on different committees that I've been on.
Okay, I'm going to bring Marco in, then I'll go to Jeremy, then Neve.
Yeah, I think I just want to echo a little bit of what everybody said. I have worked closely with the university on this issue for actually about 3 years now. I'm part of the Student Redressal System Committee, which I think also looks into how we can improve the system. I think the review is coming up next year. And I think my answer to that would be agreeing a little bit with what everybody said. I think, like Mukai just said, there is a system that is quite complex. And I think, for example, that can be reflected if you look at the USA complaint procedure versus the university complaint procedure. That's two entirely completely different kind of like protocols they have to follow. So there's a bit of mix up in what people feel like they should be doing. And I think also regarding Frederick, what he said about justice, yes, I think people feel like the redressal system is not working at all. And I think we can all agree on that. I think what people don't necessarily may agree with is how you bring those changes about. We do agree that they're needed, but we don't agree on how.
And what do you say? What's your solution for how, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the next step to that is to actually come up with more concrete policies rather than just crying out for change.
Happily.
So
do you have
in
any
my manifesto?
Yeah.
So for example, in my manifesto, I really try to detail as much as possible what I think should be a good way to reform our contact and support points. So for example, within the contact points, I think it's important that we need to consult the students with whom they feel more comfortable opening to. We need to commit to have a varied and pluralistic group of people listening, ranging from different ethnic groups and nationalities to gender and LGBT plus community, obviously where this is possible. I think also it would be really good to have an anonymous questionnaire in the style of the medical center online appointment system, detailing the category of person the student wants to engage in. I think we also need to try and commit to be as pluralistic as possible and take into account as wide a variety of nationalities as possible. I think also considering a gender and sexual orientation division along the spectrum.
Thank you, Mark. Jeremy's been waiting very patiently. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hi. Before I can carry on, can I ask Marco a question? Because I was at the protest that Ollie referred to a little bit earlier on a few weeks ago on the redressal system, and I had to and I listened very passionately, very carefully to what was being said, and it was very, very moving. But I wonder, Marco, given that you've been sitting in those committees, whether or not you've actually reached out to I don't know if I want to use their name on this broadcast. I don't know if I have the permission to do that. But have you reached out to that person who did the change.org petition, who did the protest at Bristol Square? And if not, like, would you be prepared to have that conversation with them?
Marco?
So you're asking me if I have directly engaged with that person who started the petition?
Yeah.
I've not. Particularly, I think also because as part of this committee, I think those are very delicate cases and you're trying to respect the privacy around it as much as possible. So if I wasn't involved in that case, then the people that were involved in that case should be the ones to know.
Why do you think that's important, Jeremy?
No, I figure that because they are pushing for so much change to the redressal system completely, and Marco is saying that he has been in those committees, that surely she deserves to be listened to in those places and further up. That's basically what that whole movement,
but
which
Jeremy,
has now launched
are you calling
a campaign
for a complete
week.
Like switch of the system?
Sorry,
like are you calling for like everyone who has worked at the student associations to get ditched and swapped out by other people?
No, I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying entirely there. Because I'm talking about this petition, this campaign that's come about as a result of a change.org petition because someone was the survivor of a sexual assault and wants changes to be made to the redressal system in place. And I'm asking Marco because
Marco's answer that's
whether
what
or not he has.
Yeah, so I'll just make a very
Marco, just because we need to try and get around to everyone, Roku. So Mukai, if you could very briefly respond to that, then Neve, I'm going to come to you.
I was going to say that I think everyone here is making a good point in the sense that I remember when Black Ed made a similar petition, we were given multiple chances to speak to a lot of different people in different departments about our petition and what we wanted to get changed. And I would say that I have spoken with the girl that made the petition, and she has been able to speak to people like the rector, but I don't think she's been able to have as much access as perhaps I did 2 years ago when we made our petition. So I do think that's a very valid point to ask if she has been given the opportunity to be in those channels. But I do think that Frederick makes a valid point in asking if we are realistically asking for there to be a complete redressal of the system, which might mean people losing jobs or people rethinking the system completely, which I don't think is something that shouldn't be done per se, but we need to kind of think about it critically, especially when we think that the system is actually new. It's only been in place for a year and a half. And before they created it, they actually did do a lot of, they looked into how the system was before, and Report and Support is actually a new reporting system. So regressing it would mean we're actually reintroducing something that's already supposed to be new. So that's just something that I just wanted to add in there.
Thank you. Neve, go ahead.
Thank you. So yes, I first put my hand up to respond to Hugh in saying that we now have the report and support system at the university. And the fact that that is very new does contribute to the fact that it's not very well known. But I think it also speaks to the fact that I'm not just trying to push my manifesto points, but the fact that there are so many, students get so many emails of this thing, that thing, look at this brand new shiny scheme, intervention that we have created that's going to fix all of your problems. But there are seven different versions of the same wheel. And so it means that students are fatigued. And that's one of the reasons that that Report and Support, which is used by universities across the country and is a really successful platform, with all the welfare information there and the advice place, these kind of services are not particularly known. I also think we were talking about solutions. It is a justice issue. It is an awareness issue. It's also a cultural issue. I was just speaking to Robin, who's running to be, we all were today, who's running to be the Trans and Non-Binary Liberation Officer. And she was speaking on how, for example, period products, sanitary products, are supposed to be available in gender-neutral toilets and accessible toilets across the university, and they're not. So the university isn't holding themselves to their own standard. And when Robin asked, the response that she received was that they didn't trust men to not be silly with period products. The university thinks that it's more important that men aren't silly with tampons than people who need period products have access to them. That's ridiculous. And finally, I just, almost just as an aside, it's obvious that Mukai and I have been working in the same departments because I've experienced exactly the same as you, Mukai. This kind of information just doesn't seem to cross and pass, and that's why people who have staff members and students who have really, really good intentions just don't seem to be able to make a lot of change. I also would just like to say that the person who made this petition, despite the fact that they put their experience in the public forum, I think that we should watch out that we don't make their experience become a political point for us all debating about the presidency role and using it as a tool against each other. I just think that's a respect thing.
Yeah, I think as the moderator, I agree with that. So we're not going to mention that case again. It's fine that it was mentioned, but we're not going to do so again. Mark, I'm going to bring in briefly, please. Keep it 20 or 30 seconds, then Frederick after that.
I think in the interest of time, I think I'd rather move to the next question. Okay.
Well, Frederick, did you have anything to add?
No, not really. But I think the point of NEOM with making it effective is that a really, really good point, because I think we have to trust the students with having the programs, because the students are smart. So bringing in a whole lot, like this is my, like being a whole new things, I think it's not where the focus should be. should be right now. It should be like on making it, like working with it.
Perfect. Jeremy?
Yeah, just want to add to what Niamh was saying about like the cultural issues as well with and the point that you make really, really validly about like, oh, there isn't trust in men not like messing around. Like, I think there's a lot of sense that like, do we really trust men in a lot of spaces? Do we, and I think what we need to do is we need to galvanize. We need to really call on men to say, have the conversation with other guys. Like, look, this is what is not okay. This is what is okay. We need to really set the boundaries. We need to make sure that our behavior is kept in check, because ultimately that is going to make such a huge difference when it comes to things like sexual violence and the lot. Because overwhelmingly speaking, not unanimously, overwhelmingly of the time, you know, men are the perpetrators of this. They have to take on the role of holding themselves to account on a singular basis and on a collective basis, and that's going to make things much, much better right off the bat.
Thank you, Jeremy. Right, we spent a while on that, but that's because there was plenty going on that conversation, so we're going to move on. In this segment, I'd like to hear about you. As I said at the start, you're all running, and therefore you all have different skill sets. And Frederick, in your introduction, you spoke about your skill set being appropriate for the role, and I want to know why you think, as an individual, you are willing to, you know, to solve many of these problems that you've all been talking about, and that's a question to all of you. Frederick, I will start with you because you raised it, and then I'll go to Hugh after.
Well, I think I want to, first of all, I really want to make a good job. I've met a lot of people, and I want to make the student experience well, and like how that can be done in a different way. The student body is so massive. Not everybody's part of the student association. And yeah, I want to bring the perspectives and my value for the conversation into bringing everybody up from below.
Okay, Hugh, is there anything specific about you, your character, your experience?
I listen to people. I am good at asking questions.
Sure. No, I directed that one to Hugh Frederick, but you're good. Hugh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is I'm very passionate about all of this stuff, and it's I deeply care about all the issues and all of the services that USA provide. But I think that USA should be recast as an association for everyone, and it should be trying to reach out into the student community and try and promote events and do things for everyone. In terms of my own skill set, I've been involved in societies throughout university, so I know how kind of it works, and I've got my own society. I believe I have, my leadership style is very much sort of working with others, very much being in the team, and the key thing is, if you have a very, very diverse team of people that you work with, you're much more likely to come up with great solutions, because there are often things you will miss. I am one person. And so getting a broad range of backgrounds into the process is incredibly important. And I think that personal style is sort of the ideal, the sort of the best style for this sort of thing.
Thank you. Mukai, what about you?
I think for me, I feel like I've dedicated myself to student support for the past 2 years, and I've kind of been in different aspects of the student experience. So I was president of the African Green Society for a bit. I founded the Black Ed Movement. I've done a lot of different things. So I know what it's like to kind of work in university committees, what it's like to be in a society, what it's like to kind of, you know, write your own student petition and kind of be outside of the university trying to effect change. And I think just generally, I am someone who's very open. My leadership style is very much kind of putting everyone's ideas together, kind of trying to get a little aspect of what everyone wants, trying to kind of trying to build consensus. That's something that's really big for me, and that's something that I think is really important right now, especially considering that I think a lot of students do want to change a lot of things on campus. I mean, we're now living in what I would kind of call the post-pandemic university student experience. Is very different. There's so many things that have happened, and I think we really need someone who's going to kind of build that consensus and make sure that students get the changes that they want.
Thank you. Niamh, what about you? Why should people vote for you?
I will be quick as well. I have a lot of experience doing different things at the university as well. I founded my own society earlier this year, but realized that there wasn't very much that we could do without university support, which was very lacking. I've worked as an RA at undergraduate and postgraduate sites, so learning a lot from individuals about issues that really matter to them and things that have made their university experience more difficult. I have experienced what it's like to be part of the receive mental health support from the university. I'm really, really passionate. I'm a sustainable development and politics student, so I'm really, really passionate about the environment as well, and about participation. I'm a really hard worker. I genuinely really care about students and what they care about. And I think that I'm really, really qualified to take on this role. I would do it if nobody knew who I was, if my face was never on a poster, if there was no salary. You know, I'm absolutely passionate about student representation and think I can do a really good job.
Thank you. Marco.
Thank you. I think I want my experience to talk for itself. I've been a school rep for School of Politics. I've also been a program rep for international relations. I've also worked in the internal periodic review of the university. I've worked in the diversity and inclusion committee of the university. I'm currently the student council facilitator at USA, as Jeremy said. So I know what it's like to work in a society. I'm also I've been a president of a society. I'm currently the president of the Latin American Society. So I know what it's like to be a student individually as part of a society, what it's like to work with the university committee, and what it's like to work at a USA committee, right? And I think that's the main point that I want to make it stand out in my manifesto and when talking to people. It's everything I'm proposing to you is researched and it is possible. I think my main frustrations from previous years that I've seen other campaigns is, although they sound really fun and flashy, they're not realistic at all. I think I've seen people, you know, promise they're going to make tuition fees cheaper, which again, I think everybody would love that, but that's not a decision that a section rep can make, for example. That's actually upset by Scottish government. So although my proposal might not be super flashy, like for yoga or even cheaper tuition fees, everything I am proposing is doable and I would love to go through with it.
Thank you. And Jeremy, what about you? What about your leadership style?
I am here because, I mean, I think the words "I care" came out of a few people, but I mean, I care very much about students. I think I've had a lot of support from students, and I come from a position of widening participation. I'm not going to shy away from the fact that I've come from, you know, very difficult living conditions before coming to university. You know, my family life, my upbringing wasn't particularly amazing. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't particularly amazing. I have to climb so hard, and it's been such a tricky journey to get to where I am now, that having all that experience, and I really feel like I can understand and appreciate the people who need the support and who need the advocacy the very most. And that ultimately, I am here representing them today, ultimately.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, we're hearing a lot of unity from all of you, which is obviously fantastic. You're all saying fairly similar things. In the last segment of the debate, please do say why you think you are, you know, in a respectful way, better than other candidates. People are being asked to make a choice between all of you. So sell yourselves in this last bit. I want to have a discussion about the relationship between the University of Edinburgh and USA, your two organisations that are separate, but, you know, very much interlinked as well. Do you think it's important for the president of USA and USA as a body to be able to stand up to decisions made by the University of Edinburgh? And if it is important, how will you do this? On what issues would you be prepared to do this? Anyone who wants to go first, please jump in.
I would say yes. And the reason why I would say yes is because I've been in a lot of different committees. And something that I find on a lot of committees, and I'll speak for a lot of the EDI committees, because I've been in the gender one as well as the anti-racist subgroup, you often just get one or two students. So there's often the elected representative and then maybe the sabbatical officer who is under their specific remit. And then everyone else is a staff member. So I feel like in the smaller committees, you have very little student representation. And then oftentimes when it comes to perhaps the larger forums, such as the Senate or university court, you have one or two sabbatical officers. So I think from that, it just shows that if you are going to be president of a student association and you're being told or being asked to kind of share the student perspective, it's very important to stand your ground. And for me personally, I don't think there's any specific issue I'd say I would do it. I would do it for any issue, because I feel like when it comes to these larger forums where decisions are being made, we actually don't have enough student representation. And even in the smaller forums where we expect students to kind of speak to their elected representative. There aren't enough students there as well. And you often find that in a lot of these spaces, staff go there and they end up speaking about staff issues and not really student issues. So that would be my response.
Thank you. Frederick, what about you?
I think, like, obviously it's super important that the Student Association and student president sticks up to the rest of this, like, university administration. But, like, I realize it's obviously not that easy, definitely an underdog position. But I think what is important is that when, like, giving away something or something is not being how it's wished, for example, like strike action, it's important to make a clear, like, clear statement that this is not wished for, and then at least attempt and try and secure to get some trade backs. So, like,
so on the issue of strikes, what would you be saying to the university on the issue of strikes right now?
I would say, well, first of all, I would probably try to go to the personal tutors and then ask them, like, all right, is there other way maybe we can coordinate a strike that makes it such as, like, the classrooms doesn't get stopped, especially like the tutorials. And then maybe, like, I don't, like,
how would that work? A strike with classes still going
maybe
ahead.
Like, the students should go out on, like, HQ and write, like, I don't know, 20,000 bad reviews of strike action is persistent. Maybe that would hit harder.
So just to be clear, you disapprove of the strikes, Frederick?
Yeah, like, definitely.
Okay, Jeremy, Hugh, I will bring him in, but Jeremy looks extremely surprised. Just want to bring him in on that.
I was not expecting anyone to disagree with the strike action. I think...
Just before you continue, Jeremy, just a rough show of hands. Who's opposed to the strikes currently? Just Frederick. Okay, Jeremy, carry on.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's incumbent on us as students. I think that the phrase our working conditions is a phrase that comes out quite a lot, but it is undeniably true. If you have staff who are overworked, you know, who can't really do the job to the best of their ability, then, you know, academically we're going to struggle as well. They are inexplicably linked. So if, you know, our staff welfare is important to us. But back to the question about sort of like challenging the university. I mean, like, challenging the university is literally the point of being the president. If you're not prepared to stand up and say, actually, we don't think you've got this right, then what are you doing? What are you doing being the president?
And what would you challenge them over, Jeremy?
I don't have anything specific right now at the top of my head, but you do have to be ready for anything that comes your way. If, like, you spot something that you don't quite like the sound of, you have to be quick to say, well, actually, we're not too sure about this. But at the same time, and I have to make sure I get this in, part of also being the president of USA is maintaining those positive working relationships with the university as well. So not only does your opposition to things matter, but so does the tone of them.
Thank you. Hugh?
Just before anyone roasts me, like, I'm not against the strike, but I'm just against how it is happening.
Right. Thank you, Frederick. Hugh, go ahead.
Yes. So, of course, no, it goes without saying, I think, like Jeremy said, that a president should stand up to the university when it comes to certain issues. And the issues in particular that come to mind, and I won't spend too much time on this, is, first of all, King's Buildings Bus. The university has been looking at that service, looking to scrap that for God knows how long, since I've been at university. No. That's got to stay. And I'll actually go further. I think the vets and the meds need a bus to their campus. Like, Easterbush is outrageously far away. It's in the Pentlands. It's so far away. We need to have a bus there. And the university, you know, we cannot lose our ground on this. And I mean, obviously there are now free buses for under 22s, but a lot of students, including myself, don't fit into that category anymore. And so we just get completely penalized there. And why should someone be penalized and have to pay more for transport just because they study medicine or in King's Buildings? It's absurd. So that, second of all, net zero targets, the net zero target, what, currently in 2040. And I've read the report, and frankly, I'm not impressed, because the one thing they want to do really is to replace the vehicle fleet with electric cars. Fine, but that makes up sort of 0.01 or something percent of emissions. There needs to be a much more, we need to do insulation in buildings to cut down on gas usage. I don't want to go into details too much because I'll take up too much time. And of course, things that we've already talked about, like gender-based violence, the university needs to understand the culture behind this stuff. And part of this, I don't want to go on for too much longer, but a lot of this is all to do with credibility of the person who is negotiating or pressuring the university. And a lot of my policies are all about boosting student experience, improving revenue streams of user, which can then put, be put towards like mental health counselors. If I give myself as a credible person to university, they are much more likely to listen. And my qualities are probably credible.
Hugh, why are you more credible than any of the other candidates?
Well, it's credible but from the university's perspective, because I don't think this is unfair to say that the university broad, like the university administration broadly cares about two things. I'm about to make a lot of enemies at the university, I think, but money and rankings. And both of these things are things which will be boosted by my policies.
Sure, but why are you more credible than any of your opponents?
Well, I mean, because it's the vision. I mean, I don't want to start a war here, but, and I haven't actually had a detailed look at other people's manifestos, but a lot of the stuff I think is unique in that sense. And it's that vision which I'm providing, which I think is unique.
Thank you. Niamh.
Sorry, Marco, did you lodge your place in the running? I don't want to go before you.
Oh, no, go for it. I can go after you.
Okay, fine. So I'm so sorry. In all of that debate, I've completely forgotten the question. How incredibly embarrassing.
We're talking about the relationship between USA and the university.
Yes, thank you so much. So possibly slightly unpopular opening phrase. I think that USA and the university should be better friends. I think that right now the university treats USA a bit like a puppet, certainly in the sense that you said about money. Trying to bring money income in, which does all go back out to the student association, of course, but then also the sabbatical officers are told, can you join this meeting here? Can you put your face there? And it's actually quite difficult, I've heard, for the sabbatical officers to prioritize their actual manifesto points. So I think that the university and USA should be better friends because I think the university needs to respect USA as an equal. I think that that's something that doesn't really exist right now. And
okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Marco, come in and then I'll bring other people back in.
Great minds think alike. I think I completely agree with what Niamh just said. I think a lot of people think that being a sabbatical officer is sort of kind of going guns blazing, you know, into a meeting and kind of demanding something from USA. I think we need to face a reality. We, USA, depend a lot economically, if not entirely, on the university, right? So instead of going and burning all the bridges that we have in, when we have to communicate with each other, I think we do have to be a little bit more constructive with each other. Of course, yes, there are things that I think as president, we need to draw the line on. For example, like, you know, to take a recent example, our redressal system. But at the same time, in the experience that I've had in both USA committees and university committees, and also something that I've spoken with Ellen about, our president, currently she's absolutely great. It's important that all of these decisions, and I think Mukai touched up on that about it as well with consensus, that all the decisions that we take are both in the interest of the university and of USA because we're a member of both. They're not mutually exclusive from each other, I think. And just to super quickly say why I think I stand out from the rest of the candidates, because that was your initial question really, was that, like I said, I want my experience to speak for itself. I think our university has done so much on diversity. We've had people from the Black community, be a sabbatical officer with Aisha. We've had people from the LGBT community as well. We've had women sabbatical officers as well. What I've been doing with the Latin American Society for the past 2 years is fight for greater visibility of the Latin American community in Edinburgh. It's practically invisible, even though we're one of the fastest ethnic minorities in Edinburgh.
Thank you, Marco.
And it's time to expand that diversity.
Thank you. Literally 20 seconds each. I'm going to go from Jeremy, then to Hugh, then to Frederick. 20 seconds, Jeremy.
Sorry, I just, you asked a question about, you know, it's completely blank now. I'm so sorry.
No worries. Hugh, did you want to come back in?
Yeah, so someone used the phrase guns blazing. I don't want to give the impression to listeners that I'm going to start being very belligerent with the university. This is a negotiation to some extent, and that does mean an amicable relationship. I just want to make it clear that I'm not looking to go guns blazing into the university and like, we've got to change everything. No, it's very much an amicable negotiation.
Thank you. Frederick, you wanted to come back in?
Yeah, I think if I'm going to be a bit cocky, I think I have the strength of being very good at getting along with people. And that's going to be a great strength in terms of building a relationship with the administration and like other associations. And that is also because that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been practicing. That was my goal, the first part of the university. So I'm just like, I feel good at this.
Jeremy, 20 seconds then to Mukai, because I know.
Yeah, we're talking about the kind of like the things. So the point I was going to make was that when we signed our trustee code of contact before we submitted our nominations, it was very much the case that it's in the form that, you know, we put our manifesto secondary to the overall aims of the association. So ultimately what you need to do, if you're going to be the president, is you need to make sure that you can do what you want to do and still have that be an aim of the association and merge those two together really, really nicely.
Thank you. Mukai, I know you're a little bit pressed for time. Was there something related to that question you wanted to say?
Yes, I just wanted to say, while I do believe in consensus building, I do want us to make sure that we are aware of just how much power students actually have on larger platforms, because I think when we kind of talk about negotiations, what kind of negotiation would a student be having when they're on a committee which has 20 people and there's 2 students and there's 18 staff members? We really need to think realistically about how the kind of ratios between staff and students and how much power students actually have in decision making when we talk about the role of the president and how that would kind of relate to speaking about issues and negotiating with the university.
So just finally, you're obviously all running for a hugely symbolic role, and you will be representing a huge student body. At the moment in local and national politics, students and young people are sometimes seen rather condescendingly, rather talked about quite condescendingly. People think that our concerns about pronouns and toilets and that kind of thing are nonsense, basically, and students have a bad name among some people. And I just want to get a sense from each of you, you know, less than around 30 seconds each, if that's all right, why you'll be a good advocate for students' interests, why you will, you know, represent the students of Edinburgh in a way that makes the students of Edinburgh proud to be represented by you. If anyone's keen to jump in first on this.
I would say that I'm an all-rounder in the fact that my experience, even just my lived experience being a Black woman, the different things that I've kind of worked in being women's officer and the different committees I've been in, but also a lot of the stuff that I've learned, even from being a liberation officer and working with the trans and non-binary officer or the LGBTQIA officer, I do feel like I'm someone that's an all-rounder and someone that is respectful of people that come from different backgrounds and someone that's kind of put themselves out there and tried to learn as much as they can about students and what the student experience looks like for different students. So I would say that I'm someone that I believe would appeal to a larger audience, also being an international student, and someone who, although I'm an international student, I find myself having to work 20 hours a week. So I know how hard it is for students, like widening participation students, who kind of have to balance out their academic work as well as working full time, and with me on top of that, also have a lot of student roles. So I do think that I can appeal to a lot of different people. And in that way, I do think I'll be someone who students will be proud to be represented by.
Thank you. Mukai, I believe you do need to head off now. So thank you so much for taking part in the Fresh Air Use of Presidential Debate for 2022. It's been great hearing all of your ideas and good luck with the campaign. Mukai Chigumba, thank you. We'll carry on. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hi, yes. Sorry, I just want to point something out, because you mentioned the role as being really, as being somewhat symbolic. I would disagree with the idea of the role being symbolic. I think it deserves a bit more. I think the role of a sabbatical officer is a bit more, deserves a bit more respect than to call it symbolic.
No, that wasn't a disrespect to the role. I said it had a symbolic element to it, in that you are the president. You know, president can do, presidents around the world might be up all day working on very specific pieces of work, but nonetheless they are still symbols that represent people. That's all I meant. It wasn't a condescending view on the role at all, Jeremy.
No worries. Can you repeat the question for me really quickly? Because I have the idea of what I was going to respond. I just need to remind you what the question was.
Yeah. Just a sense of why you will be a good representative for the students of Edinburgh at a time when students are sometimes viewed negatively.
Well, let's be clear that, you know, students are smart, they're dignified, they're passionate. All the things that I actually really admire and love. Actually, this is why I have so much admiration for the other candidates here as well, because, you know, putting yourself out there and actually advocating for yourself and for myself is actually a really bold thing to do. So congratulations to everybody on that. But ultimately, I really like the idea of celebrating students as best we possibly can as an association. And I'm not just talking about, you know, like student awards, as much as they're really, really good. Like, I feel that this should be a constant thing where, like, all the little achievements are recognised in at least some way. I don't know, sports unions do things like this. You know, they're constantly advertising. I think, as you say, they're constantly advertising and promoting and cheering on and celebrating the athletes. Just because you're not in sport, you're doing other amazing things. Lots of students are doing other amazing things elsewhere, and they deserve that attention, deserve that praise, and I think they deserve to be legitimised.
I'm sorry, I really need to speed this up because we're nearing the end of the debate. Hugh, what about you?
Yeah, so fair point. These issues, which are very important, and of course, the outside world might have a sort of different view on some of these things. And what I would say is, I referred to one of my answers earlier in the sense that people can be proud of the work that I will do because I will engage in sort of a very inclusive and diverse fashion. Because, like I said, the best solutions come from these environments. And I think that if, particularly the role of president, is seen to be having the interests of all students, and these communities included, but also people who do sport, people at King's, the vet meds, and all this, students will be proud that their president is caring for all of them.
Thank you very much, Marco.
Yeah, just to make it super quick, like you said, I think people make the mistake of saying youth is one, but no, it's an extremely pluralistic community. I think that we are also a very versatile and adaptable age group. I think we've undergone the past 2 years so much a global pandemic, kind of like the economic implications that's going to have to the labor market as well, that's currently having what's going on, unfortunately, in Ukraine as well. And I think, you know, based on all these committees that I've been participating in the past 4 years of my university career, because I'm a fourth year, I know what students want in a way. As a Latino man myself, I know what it's like to be partially invisible to the bigger institutions within the university. And I think if I was given the honor of being used as president, I think I would tell everybody I want to know what it's like to be in your shoes.
Thank you, Marco. Neve?
This idea, negative idea of students, is stuck in some mid-2000s BBC sitcom where students are eating greasy pizza on sofas all the time. And that's absolutely not what students are. We have postgraduates and undergraduates, postgraduates always being forgotten. We have people from all over the world at this university. I think that people can be proud to have me as president because I do not claim to know what students want. I don't, because there are so many students and they all want different things. And so one of my main manifesto points, one of the things, and this isn't even a manifesto, it's not a manifesto, it's a hope, it's a dream, that students can come together through, you know, as I say, a citizens assembly, and we can have cultural change by bringing students all together at the beginning of matriculation and setting a real no tolerance precedent for violence and bigotry. And I think then we can help to craft students to leave university feeling like they've had dialogue and deliberation and input and really mobilizing student power in decision-making, in activism, and in understanding each other.
Thank you very much. Finally, Frederick.
I'm a good voice to the outside world because I speak rationally, and I think I can have a good capacity to be interpreted as well by whoever the audience may be. So I will transfer perspectives from the diverse students to either each other or to the ones outside. And I have a good ability to dissect easily misunderstood messages and deliver them peacefully to easily misunderstanding minds.
Thank you very much, Frederick. Last question, one sentence answers from each of you, please. If you could compare yourself or your leadership style to anyone throughout history or a family member or a political figure, if anyone springs to mind, then please do come forward. You're looking a bit concerned at that question. Jeremy, go ahead.
Simple answer is, I can't.
Okay.
Elon Musk, he has a no policy. I would follow that policy.
Okay. Anyone else names springing to mind?
My grandmother went to university in secret. She didn't tell her father for 4 years and they lived together. She cooked dinner for him every night. And she started a violence prevention and support group in Aberdeen, the first of its kind. And she was really just a genuinely caring person and very humble about it. And so I would like to think that she passed away earlier this year. I would like to think that I can carry that on.
I'm very sorry to say that, Neve. That's a lovely answer. Marco?
I would actually say my dad, to put it short. No answers, real problem, real solutions to real problems.
Hugh, have you got an answer?
That's very difficult. I mean, I couldn't possibly compare like that. Like, no, not really. What I will say is that I want to be a present for literally everyone. I've got things in my manifesto and I care a lot about these issues for everyone. So if you can think of a leader like that in history, then maybe that. But I'm not going to try and compare myself to someone.
No, you're way better, bro.
No, shut up.
Jeremy, you wanted to just very quickly.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pay tribute here to my mum because she was my guiding hope for so many years, and she always had the ethos of being hopeful hoping that things will be better and always having a positive attitude. No one ever had a bad word to say about her. And that's the philosophy that I try to live by.
What a wonderful way to leave this debate. Thank you all so much for participating. We had six candidates for the president of USA here today. There are eight in total. So to say, we had Frederick Moore, Mukai Chigumba, Jeremy Pestle, Marco Garcia Mendez, Neve Roberts, and Hugh Beaumont. Also up for the role of president is Ida Inal and Hayath Hosnin, who were otherwise busy or chose not to reply to our invitation. Thank you all so much for being here on Fresh Air Radio. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you all well. Thank you for joining us for this year's USA presidential debate. I hope it's helped you make up your mind. Voting opens this Monday, the 7th of March, and it closes on Thursday, the 10th at 5 p.m. Details are on USA's website for how to vote. I'll be back next week at the same time. Until then, stay well. Good evening.